could have a deal on the Bush tax cuts by the end of the week.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Looks like a bipartisan compromise on the Bush tax cuts is coming together. It would likely include an extension of unemployment benefits and perhaps a continuation of tax credits that were included in the stimulus package last year. Marketplace's David Gura is covering this story for us in Washington, and he's with us now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So bring us up to date. Where do these negotiations stand?
Well, the Senate rejected President Obama's proposal to extend the Bush-era tax cuts on incomes for individuals making less than $200,000 a year and for families making less than $250,000 a year. Now, over the weekend, there was a compromise plan that was floated. Some senators thought that those numbers were too low, that they should extend the tax cuts for Americans making less than $1 million a year. That plan didn't get through the Senate either. So what we're seeing now is a lot of wrangling. There's a lot of talk of maybe extending the Bush-era tax cuts temporarily, say for 2 or 3 years. I spoke with Len Berman. He's a professor at Syracuse University.
The only thing I worry about is that this is a slippery slope. I think that the Republicans clearly are hoping that, you know, at the end of a couple of years, they'll have the White House and the Senate as well as the House, and then they can make everything permanent.
So this story continues. Now, David, we've been hearing about extending unemployment benefits as part of this package, about the different income levels that you just talked about. But now there appears to be another point of negotiation, extending the Obama tax credits. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, one of the concessions they want is for Congress to extend a series of tax credits that were part of the economic stimulus package that was passed last year. Mm-hmm. And the big one is the Making Work Pay tax credit. That amounts to about $400 for individuals, $800 for married couples, you know, a host of other credits for the working poor, for college students, for adoptive parents. And the administration is sort of weaving these two things together, the Bush-era tax cuts and saying the same thing about the Obama tax credits.
All right, we'll be watching. Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke took his message to the airwaves last night. He was on 60 Minutes defending the Fed's controversial strategy to stimulate lending and spending. The Fed is pumping about $600 billion new dollars into the economy, and some are worried that could lead to inflation. Here was Chairman Bernanke's defense last night.
We're not printing money. The amount of currency in circulation is not changing. The money supply is not changing in any significant way. What we're doing is lowering interest rates by buying Treasury securities. And by lowering interest rates, we hope to stimulate the economy to grow faster.
The Fed chief said the economy is still struggling to become self-sustaining without government help, and he left open the possibility that the Fed will buy even more bonds. That has global markets moving this morning. It's a mixed picture in Europe and Asia right now. Tokyo dropped about 0.1% today. In London, stocks are up slightly right now. Drug maker Pfizer is getting a new CEO. Analysts say the old one didn't produce enough blockbuster drugs. On Wall Street on Friday, the Dow jumped 19 points to close at 11,382. Well, the UN climate change talks will wrap up this week in Cancun, Mexico. More world leaders are arriving today, and they're expected to add more pressure for an agreement, but so far, nada. Meantime, multinational companies held their own event to highlight what they're already doing. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports from Cancun now on the insurance industry's efforts.
Half an hour from the conference center and all the negotiators, a nice hotel is hosting a better-dressed group. It's a corporate event. Companies of all stripes are assessing how they'll adapt to climate change. Peter Hoppe is with German insurance giant Munich Re.
There will be some losers, especially the ones who don't switch their business models quick enough.
His company insures insurance companies, which makes Munich Re big time on the hook for the more frequent weather disasters that climate change models predict. That's the risk. But here's the opportunity. New products. For instance, insuring farmers in poor countries. In cases of extreme rain or drought, they get a payout. It's called microinsurance.
If we develop microinsurance systems now and create a certain insurance culture in the country, then once these countries become more wealthy, this may be a start of a profitable market then.
If you get the details right, then yes, there's money to be made in a changing climate. In Cancun, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. the all-new Chevrolet Bolt. It's more car than electric. Marketplace Money is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Google is reportedly buying an 18-story office building in Manhattan for about $2 billion. The building takes up an entire city block, and it's already got some people talking about a new Manhattan tech mecca. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
The building at 111 8th Avenue has already made a name for itself.
Is this the Google building?
Yeah.
Right now, Google's just a tenant. It rents out about 500,000 square feet of space here for its New York headquarters. But Google's expected to buy the entire structure by the end of the month. Eric Anton with Manhattan real estate firm Eastern Consolidated says the building's internal guts hold great appeal for high-tech firms.
The building sits on one of the main fiber optic cables in Manhattan, and the floor loads here were built to support enormous weight.
Perfect for heavy servers and access to lightning-fast internet connections, just what Google and other building tenants like Verizon and WebMD need. Anton says once Google buys the building, businesses will clamor to get in, if only for a chance to make that elevator pitch to CEO Eric Schmidt. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, while we're on the subject of real estate, there's a steal to tell you about out in Montana. It's a quiet getaway, and the price has dropped down to $69,000. That's less than half of what it was originally on the market for. Oh, and there is one little thing. It was the former home of the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. His little cabin is not included. That was taken away by police. Realtors are boasting that the property is secluded. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.